karuna toro Vaishnava Gosai. Patita pavanna toma vene greona. Mona Dayala Prabhu Kiva Kota Pai Gangara Purasa Oire Pashate Papa Mastane aparane nahi paritran Tumara vidoyasata Govindesh Vishram Govinda Govinda Mora Vaishnava Paran Prati Janme Kori Asha Charane Radune Narottama Koro doya panarabodhi Ibaro karuna koro Vaishnava gosai Patita pavan Toma bene che ho una Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
His divine grace, Savaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Vakta Vrindiki Jai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopatnath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Gover Dan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasadevi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Pranta Swami Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharani Nivashesha Shunyabadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So Om Ganat Timurandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Niditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the nectarian pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so let us share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Okay, so we are on the 195th text in the third chapter of the Maja Lila, and you can read along with us. Muni Adama Tamarana Papadarashana Kemate Darivahe Papishta Jivana. So I believe the person talking here is Haridas Thakur. Because Haridas Thakur is lamenting. All right, let's go back a little bit of the story. Mother Sachi has given Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the instruction to reside in Jagannath Puri, and Haridas Thakur is lamenting about it because he will not be able to see Lord Jagannath or go near the temple or go near the devotees or even go near Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be living in the temple or close to the temple compound. So Haridas Thakur is lamenting, how can this be? Because I am so low. But actually, you will read later on how every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see Haridas Thakur, even though Haridas Thakur did not enter into Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rooms near the temple because Haridas Thakur was observing the social etiquette. Still, the Lord came to see him. And this is Haridas Thakur lamenting, because I am the lowest among men. I shall not be able to see you. How shall I be able to maintain my life? Prabhu kahi karatumi dainya Samvarna tumara dainyate mora Dracula mana. The Lord replied to Haridas Thakur, please check your humility. Just the sight of your humility very much agitates my mind. Tomalagi jaganate karibani vedana tomalanyala yabahami shri purushottama. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured Haridas Thakur that he would place a petition before Lord Jagannath, and he would certainly take him there to Jagannath Puri. So one thing you have to understand, that Jagannath Puri has, or the tradition is, quite racist, or I would say nationalistic, or discriminated against people of different religions. I mean, even Indira Gandhi was not allowed to enter because she was a Parsi. So, and especially those born in the Western world, or even those who were born in India who later moved to the Western world, should not go in according to their tradition. It's actually not a very good tradition. Even the times I've been in Jagannath Puri, there were actually hotels that were specifically reserved for those who were from India, or Hindus, so to speak. And there were hotels or places to stay reserved for those who were from a Malecha background or overseas background. And Prabhupada, he was actually quite upset with this. He said that Lord Jagannath is Jagannath. He is the Lord of Jagat, the universe. He's not Purinath. And Prabhupada got so upset. One time he said, Lord Jagannath will come out of the temple if you all don't let our Western devotees into the temple. So there's a lot of discrimination there against people who are Westerners, even if they're pure vegetarians following the four rules and regulations. And they let people who are Hindus in, even if they eat fish and chicken. Not in the temple, of course. It's not actually very consistent with our philosophy. So anyway, but Haridas Thakur was allowed to go to Jagannath Puri, and he resided in a place called the Siddha Bakul. So, Tabaita Acharya Kahi Vinaya Karinja Dina Dvaichari Raha Kripata Karinja. After that, Advaita Acharya respectfully requested Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show him mercy by remaining another 2 or 4 days. Acharya Vakya Prabhu Nakare Langhana Rahila Advaita Grihe Nakaila Gamana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never violated the request of Advaita Acharya, therefore he remained at his home and did not leave immediately for Jagannath Puri. Anandita haila acharya shochi vakta sabha pratidina kari acharya maha mahotsava. Lord Chaitanya's decision was received very happily by Advaita Acharya, Mother Shachi, and all the devotees. Advaita Acharya celebrated every day with a great festival. Dine Krishna Katarasa Bhakta Gana Sange Ratri Maha Mahotsava Sankirtana Ange. During the day, the devotees discussed subject matters concerning Krishna, and at night there was a great festival, congregational chanting at the house of Advaita Acharya. Anandatahanya Shachi Karena Rantana Suke Bhojana Kari Prabhulana Bhakta Kana. Mother Shachi cooked with great pleasure, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with the devotees, accepted the prasadam with great pleasure. Acharyara Shraddha Bhakti Griha Sampada Dhune Sakala Sapalaila Prabhura Aradhane. In this way, all the opulences of Dvaitacharya, his faith, devotion, home, riches, and everything else were successfully utilized in the worship of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dvaitacharya set an ideal example for all household devotees in his reception of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, and in his execution of a daily festival at his home. If one has the proper means and wealth, he should occasionally invite the devotees of Lord Chaitanya who are engaged in preaching all over the world and hold a festival at home simply by distributing prasadam and talking about Krishna during the day and holding congregational chanting for at least 3 hours in the evening. Wow. Of course, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had congregational chanting, there was so much energy that 3 hours was not enough. And because we may not be able to chant purely, we may get tired after half an hour or even 45 minutes. This procedure must be adopted in all centers of the Krishna conscious movement. Thus, they will daily perform a Sankirtan Yajna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 32. The daily performance of Sankirtan Yajna is recommended for this age. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasat. And the translation of that verse is, those who have sufficient brain substance, Sumedasat means good brains, they will worship the Lord with congregational chanting. And those who have Durmedasat, bad brains, will not do that. One should worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his four associates, the Panchatattva, by distributing prasadam and holding congregational chanting. Indeed, that yajna or sacrifice is most recommended in this age of Kali. In this age, other yajnas are not possible to perform, but this yajna can be performed everywhere and anywhere without difficulty. And I am going to show you a picture that I took during the Sankirtan Yajna at Dvaitacharya's house. Yes, I was there with my mobile phone. Hold on a second. Believe it or not, probably you don't believe it. Anyway, because you're atheists. Anyway, so I was there at the house, and I am going to show you the picture I took with my mobile phone. Actually, I had a better camera than a mobile phone. Hold on 1 second. Let me share the picture with all of you. 1 second. Let's see. New share. Here's the picture I took. There's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Dvaitacharya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and Srivas Thakur, all dancing and chanting. Okay, let's go back. Of course, just to tell you the truth, that picture wasn't taken at Dvaitacharya's house, because in that picture Lord Chaitanya was a householder. But that gives you an idea of what it was like to chant for 3 hours a night during the kirtan. Okay, here we go. Hold on a second. Sachira Ananda Bhare Deki Putra Mukha Bhojanakaranya Purna Kaila Nija Sukha. As Mother Sachi constantly saw the face of her son and fed him, her own happiness increased and was indeed complete. E mata dvaita grihe bhakta gana mile vanchila katakadina ma akutu hode. In this way, at Dvaitacharya's house, all the devotees met and passed some days together in a greatly festive mood. Aradina prabhukai sababhakta gane nija nija grihe sabe karaha gamane. The next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees to return to their respective homes. Gare Gya Karasabe Krishna Sankirtan Punarape Ama Sange Haibe Milana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also asked them to execute the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord at their homes and assured them that they would be able to meet him again. Kabuva tumara karibe niladri gamata Kabuva sivahami karite gangasnan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, sometimes you will come to Jagannath Puri and sometimes I shall come bathe in the Ganges. In other words, I will come to where you are. Nichananda Goshani Pandita Jagananda Damodara Pandita Haradatta Mukunda Echare Jana Acharya Dila Prabhu Sane Janani Prabodhakari Pandila Charane. Sri Advaita Acharya sent four persons, Nichananda Goshani, Jagananda Pandit, Damodara Pandit, and Mukunda Datta, to accompany the Lord. After pacifying his mother, Shachimata, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu submitted prayers at her lotus feet. Tanre Padakshina Kari Karila Gamana Eta Chayiragare Utita Krandana. When everything was arranged, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated his mother and then started for Jagannath Puri. In the house of Advaita Acharya, there arose tumultuous crying. Of course, crying is separation. Nirapeksha hanga Prabhu Sigra Chalila Kandite Kandite Acharya Paschat Chalila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unaffected. He left swiftly, and Advaita Acharya followed him weeping. Wow. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the word nirapeksha means not being affected by anything material and remaining fixed in the service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not very much care for the roaring tumult and cry at the house of Advaita Acharya, which he heard when starting for Jagannath Puri. Worldly moralists may criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for being very cruel, but the Lord did not care for such criticism. As the world teacher of this Krishna consciousness movement, he actually showed that a person seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness should not be affected by worldly affection. The best course is to engage in rendering service to the Lord and to become callous to material objectives. Externally, everyone is attached to material things, but if one becomes entangled in such things, he cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should not care for the so-called morality of the material world if that morality opposes the service of the Lord, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally shown. One cannot properly execute Krishna consciousness without being neutral. That is very heavy. Of course, neutrality is summarized by the word nirapeksha. I mean, that's not disinterested, basically. So a devotee is not negative towards the material world, because the material world belongs to Krishna. It's meant to be used in Krishna's service. Nor is he greedy for things in this material world. And then whatever happens, he sees Krishna's hand behind it and doesn't lament. There's two aspects to the conditioned soul's consciousness in this world. What is it? Lamentation and hankering. We lament for what we lost, and we hanker for what we want. So I was listening to a very interesting class by Srila Prabhupada this morning, or it's a conversation. Prabhupada was explaining about the things he lost. It was a very heavy conversation. Prabhupada was explaining that when he was a young man, he received the order of his spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness in English, and his whole plan in preaching Krishna consciousness in English was what? In the beginning, to raise money So he was making all these plans. He was working for Bose's laboratory, and he was getting a high position, and then there was some political intrigue, and he lost his position. And then at one point, he was offered a very high position, I think by the Bengal Chemical or something like that company, Prabhupada was offered. And Prabhupada said he had too many conditions. He had more conditions than they would accept. Prabhupada was very humble. He said he was very proud. And Prabhupada said, had he accepted that position, he would have been very, very wealthy. But Prabhupada somehow or other rejected that position. And then Prabhupada's business went bankrupt. And, you know, anyway, so many problems occurred. But throughout all that, whenever Prabhupada had losses, there was no lamentation, no depression. He was seeing the hand of Krishna. So many challenges Prabhupada had. Then it was mentioned that Prabhupada opened up that center in Jhansi, and that was taken away from him because Krishna had bigger plans for Prabhupada. Because Jhansi is just a small place, comparatively speaking. And that was taken away by the governor, Munshi's wife, who wanted to turn into a lady Bhavan. But Prabhupada never lamented about it. He always saw Krishna's hand. And what does that mean, he saw Krishna's hand? Prabhupada would quote this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yashaham anugrinami hurishye tadanam shanai. That when I favor someone, Krishna is speaking, of course, not Prabhupada in this particular juncture, then I may take things away from them. So all they are left with, and sometimes even their friends and relatives reject them. And then they take shelter of Krishna's name. And see, we see this happening in Prabhupada's life. He lost everything. Money was taken away from him. His family was very oppositional towards him, extremely oppositional. And finally, when Prabhupada goes to America, boards the Jaladuta ship with 40 rupees, which he wasn't able to exchange in the United States because there was no way to exchange it in the United States. Later on, he ended up bringing the 40 rupees back with him. Basically, just an acquaintance saw him off. And remember, it was Calcutta he was brought up in. There was a family. There was everybody. And it's like what Prabhupada said in his Vrindavan Bhajan. It's just a fruitless thing. All he has is relatives, his family. It's all fruitless. Because when someone loses everything, then materialists, they lose interest in that particular person. They lose interest. So Prabhupada, but he didn't lament. He didn't lament at all. He saw there was Krishna behind him, pushing him to do something wonderful. If Krishna had not arranged all those things, then what would have happened? Let's say Prabhupada would have made millions of dollars. But that would have not made all those Western disciples and followers that Prabhupada had. If you look at Prabhupada's life in retrospect, that means looking back, for those of you who don't know, then you'll see that Krishna arranged everything like pieces of the chess pieces on a chessboard so that everything would work out. And then Prabhupada commented, he said, it said in his horoscope that if he did business, he would be as rich as someone named Birla. Some of you don't know who Birla is. But then Prabhupada said that that would not have given him success in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna arranged that he went to the Western world and got so many sons and daughters more obedient than his family was. And then Prabhupada became as rich as Birla, in a real sense. And Krishna gave him everything. Like Prabhupada's father would often say, that Krishna has 10 arms and 10 hands to go along with the 10 arms. And so, with those 10 hands and 10 arms, Krishna can take away everything. Can you imagine you had to fight with someone with 10 arms or 10 hands? Impossible, because you only have two. And then if Krishna wants to give you something, you can't keep him from giving you those things. And this is what happened in Prabhupada's life, because he did what his spiritual master wanted him to do, and then Krishna gave him everything. Prabhupada had so many loving disciples, people willing to sacrifice their lives, and who were still sacrificing their lives for Srila Prabhupada. But Krishna had to remove something. Just like you go to a dentist sometimes and he has to remove a rotten tooth. And that actually enables you to eat properly. Okay. I don't like dentist analogies. Sorry about that. So Prabhupada never lamented. He was always neutral in a sense for material things. All right. He went on the boat. Said, "You all right? Nobody's there, but I have my spiritual master's order. I have Krishna and his various incarnations that are rowing the boat, and they're with me always." Because one always has, the pure devotees always are aware that Krishna and all of his incarnations and the whole disciplic succession are with him or her. All the time. And Prabhupada had that firm determination. So this is our example. Kata duragya prabhu kari yoda hata acharye prabodhi kahi kichu mishta bhata. After he had followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some distance, Advaitacharya was petitioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded hands. The Lord spoke the following sweet words: "Janane prabodhikara bhakta samadana tumi vyagrahele karo narahime prana." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please pacify all the devotees and my mother. If you become agitated, no one will be able to continue to exist." Etabali prabhu tandre kari alingana nivritti kariya kaila svachandagamana. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the Advaitacharya and stopped him from proceeding any further. Then, without anxiety, he proceeded to Jagannath Puri. Ganga tire tire prabhu chari jana sate ilaji chalila prabhu chatraboga pate. The Lord with the other four persons went along the banks of the Ganges through the path of Chatraboga towards Niladri Jagannath Puri. So Prabhupada comments, there's a little bit of geographical information. In the southern section of the Eastern Railway, in the district of the 24 Paraganas, is a station named Magrahatta. If one goes to the southeastern side of that station for some 14 miles, there is a place called Jayanagara. About 6 miles south of this Jayanagara station is a village named Chaturboga. Sometimes this village is called Kadi. In this village is a deity of Lord Shiva known as Vajrakanatha. A festival takes place there every year during the month of Chaitra, March, April. The festival is known as Nanda Mela. At the present moment, the Ganges does not flow there. On the same railway line is another station known as Baruipura, and near this station is another place called Atisara. Formerly, this village was also situated on the banks of the Ganges. One can go from this village to Panihati, and from there to Varaha Nagara, north of Calcutta. In those days, the Ganges flowed to the south of Calcutta through Kaligata, which is still known as Adiganga. From Barhuipura, the Ganges branched out and flowed through Diamond Harbor near the Mathurapura police station. It is to be noted that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through all these places on his way
to Jagannath Puri. So in other words, he went through what would be considered now Calcutta, or Kolkata, as it is now. Chaitanya Mangale Prabhura Niladri Gamana Pistari Vaniya Chena Dasa Vrindavana. In his book known as the Chaitanya Mangal, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavanas Thakur has elaborately described the Lord's passage to Jagannath Puri. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through Bengal, he passed through Atisaragram, Borahagram, and Chaturbhoga. He then reached the Orissa province, where he passed through Prayagat, the Suvarna Rekha River, Raimuna. Raimuna is where the Shirachur, Gopinath deity, is. Wow. Yajapura, where he bathed at the Dashamphameda Ghata on the Vaitarani River. Katak Katak, where the Mahanadi River flows. Bhubaneswar, where there is a big lake known as Bindu Sarovara. Kamalapura and Atara Nala. In this way, passing through all these and other places, he reached Jagannath Puri. Wow. Atvaita Grihe Prabhura Virasa Shuneye Jana Achire Milaye Tanre Krishna Prema Dona. If one hears the activities of the Lord at the house of Advaitacharya, he will certainly very soon attain the riches of love of Krishna. So you know that you're nearing the end of a chapter when there's this thing called a Shruti Phala. What's a Shruti Phala? Phala means a fruit, and Shruti means to hear. So usually, or many times at the end of specific chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vedic literatures, etc., like that, there is mentioned a fruit or benediction you get from hearing or reading that particular chapter, or understanding that particular chapter, or remembering that particular chapter, etc., like that. So those of you who heard about these activities of the Lord at the house of Advaitacharya, such as his interactions with Lord Nityananda, such as Lord Chaitanya's interactions with Sachimata, such as Lord Chaitanya's interactions with Haridas Thakur, Advaitacharya, the other devotees, then very soon you will love Krishna. Very soon. He or she will certainly very soon attain the riches of love of Krishna. And here we come to the end, the standard end of the chapter. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. 219, 195 today. 219, chapter 3. All right, we'll go ahead. Hold on one second. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majalila, third chapter, describing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stay at the house of Advaitacharya, his acceptance of the sannyas order and observance of daily festivals at Advaitacharya's house, his congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and his feasting with all the devotees. Wow. So the next chapter is super nectar, as are all the chapters. So this chapter 4 is entitled Sri Madhavendra Puri's Devotional Service. So this particular narration takes place in Ramuna, where there is the Shira Chora Gopinath temple. It's a wonderful, wonderful narration. And you're going to get a summary of it in the chapter introduction. In his Amrita Prabhava Vasa, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur gives the following summary of the fourth chapter, passing along the path of Chaturbhoga and coming to Viramantreshvara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the border of Orissa. On his way, he enjoyed transcendental bliss by chanting and begging alms at different villages. In this way, he reached the celebrated village of Remuna, where there is a deity of Gopinath. There he narrated the story of Madhavendra Puri as he had heard it from his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. The narration is as follows, and you're going to hear more details as we actually read the chapter. But now it's a summary. One night at Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri dreamed that the Gopal deity was within the forest. The next morning, he invited his neighbor and friends to accompany, this is a very short summary, to accompany him to excavate the deity from the jungle. He then established the deity of Shri Gopalji on top of Govardhan Hill with great pomp. Gopal was worshipped and the Anakut festival was observed in its piles of grains. The festival was known everywhere and many people from the neighboring villages came to join. One night, the Gopal deity again appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and asked him to go to Jagannath Puri to collect some sandalwood pulp and smear it on the body of the deity. Having received this order, Madhavendra Puri immediately started for Orissa. Traveling through Bengal, he reached Ramuna village and there received a pot of condensed milk Shira offered to the deity of Gopinathji. This pot of condensed milk was stolen by Gopinath and delivered to Madhavendra Puri. Since then, the Gopinath deity has been known as Shira Chora Gopinath. That means Gopinath who stole the condensed milk. Well, actually, Prabhupada translates it here. The deity who stole the pot of condensed milk. After reaching Jagannath Puri, Madhavendra Puri received permission from the king to take out 1 mound of sandalwood and 22 tolas of camphor. Aided by 2 men, he brought these things to Ramuna. Again, he saw in a dream that Gopal at Govardhan Hill desired that very sandalwood to be turned into pulp mixed with camphor and smeared over the body of Gopinathaji. Understanding that that would satisfy the Gopal deity at Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri executed the order and returned to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated the story for Lord Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees and praised the pure devotional service of Madhavendra Puri. When he recited some verses composed by Madhavendra Puri, he went into an ecstatic mood. But when he saw that many people were assembled, he checked himself and ate some sweet rice prasadam. Thus he passed that night, and the next morning he again started for Jagannath Puri. Amazing story. Okay, we will start the story. Text 1. Yasmae datum charyan chira bandham Gopinatha shira charabito bhut Shri Gopala pradura sidvasha san Yat premna tam madhavendram natosmi. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Madhavendra Puri, who has given a pot of sweet rice stolen by Shri Gopinatha, celebrated thereafter as Shira Chora, the thief of sweet rice. Being pleased by Madhavendra Puri's love, Shri Gopal, the deity at Govardhan, appeared to the public vision. Wow. So, this word Chora, if you call someone a Chora in Hindi, you will get in trouble. That means you're a thief. Very dangerous. It's like calling someone a rascal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur annotates that this Gopal deity was originally installed by Bhadra, the great grandson of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri rediscovered Gopal and established him on top of Govardhan Hill. This Gopal deity is now situated at Nathadwara and is under the management of the descendants of Ballabhacharya. The worship of the deity is very luxurious, and one who goes there can purchase varieties of prasadam by paying a small price. So, a little history about the deities in Vrindavan. The original deities were installed by Brajanaba, who was called Brajanaba, who was the great-grandson of Krishna. So he was Aniruddha's son. So after Krishna left this planet, and most of the residents of Dwarka, they also left the planet, through what was called a fratricidal battle. Phew. It was really heavy because they got drunk. Let me tell the story about that. Okay, so after the battle of Kurukshetra, Gandhari, the chaste lady with great power, cursed Krishna because she blamed Krishna for the killing of everyone in her dynasty. And she said, Krishna, your dynasty will self-destruct too by killing each other. So what happened is later on, they got drunk on rice wine, and they had these canes that were like iron rods that grew. Anyway, I'm not going to tell the whole story about the iron, the iron club that was ground into bits that grew into the canes. I'm not going to tell that story right now. But anyway, they fought with each other, being drunk, and killed each other. Of course, they didn't kill Krishna. But even Krishna and Balaram were involved in that particular fight. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, they left this world. So Brajanava, he took the remnants of the Yadu dynasty, those who were still there, some of Krishna's wives that were still there, and he went to Vrindavan to re-establish the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and actually to place deities there. So he went there, and one of the things that happened there is he did a kirtan, where he chanted the holy names of the Lord. Big, big kirtan. And during that kirtan, all the associates of Krishna, as well as Krishna and Balaram, appeared in the kirtan. Pretty amazing. So the kirtan, or the kirtans of these great devotees, would sometimes manifest even to those of us who were not that qualified. They would manifest Krishna to the sight, to one's sight. Narottama Das Thakur and Kateri had such a kirtan, in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the rest of the Panchatattva appeared during the kirtan. This was after Lord Chaitanya and the members of the Panchatattva had left this world. So Vrajanava went to Vraj, and in addition to that kirtan and Krishna's associates coming out, and even Uddhava coming out of the ground, he established many of the original deities, or the original deities there. For example, at Govardhan, there's a Ugra Nrisingha deity, an Ugra Nrisingha deity at the tail of Govardhan. And there's other deities. There's a Dauji deity right there in Anyur, in the village of Anyur. Big, big Dauji deity. Dauji means, of course, Balaram. And a little Krishna. Dauji means older brother. So that's one of the original deities. And you can tell the original deities that they're black. They're made of the same black stone. And many of those original deities, like Nachi, who was mentioned here, were taken out of Vrindavan when the Muslims attacked, and for their own safety, of course, because many times the Muslims go into the temple, smash all the deities, and even put the pieces of the deities in the road so that people would step on them. And they would kill all the brahmanas and force the brahmanas to eat meat and do so many horrendous things. So that's actually true. Vrajanava is also the grandson of Banasura. Yeah. That's a story of Usha and Aniruddha, which we don't have time to tell right now. Usha and Aniruddha, it's a very romantic story. It's there in the Krishna book if you want to know what the story is about. So he installed many of these deities, and especially the deity of Gopal. And that deity of Gopal was hidden because the Muslims attacked. And later on, Madhavendra Puri discovered that deity, and then we're going to hear about that discovery. And the ensuing pastimes that occurred between Madhavendra Puri and the deity, and the other deities, and Krishna in general. So, without further ado, because we don't want to give away all the wonderful things we're going to talk about in the next few days, we will open up the floor for questions. We're stopping sharing, and then we will allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay, who has a question about anything we read today? Questions, comments, arguments, problems? I know you have problems.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Prabhupada.
Uh-oh.
I love you, Maharaj. I like you.
That's nice. At least, one
explanation.
Person. At least one person does. Okay, so what's the question?
Maharaj, I'm a little confused about Mother Gandhari.
Yeah.
On 13th chapter, 1st canto, Prabhupada writes in the purport that her chastity is so valuable, it's almost like equal to a Mahajan.
Yeah.
I could not figure it out when she cursed Krishna. She never really directed the children towards Krishna consciousness. How is that her greatness is like Mahajan?
Well, first of all, she tried to influence her husband and he wouldn't listen. You know, she actually, just like Mandodari. Mandodari tried to influence Ravan in the right way, and same thing, Gandhari tried to influence her husband. Still, she had the mother's affection. So not only did she curse Krishna, but she ruined Yudhisthira's feet. You know that story? That she was very powerful. Actually, we'll tell stories about this. So Yudhisthira came to see Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, and Gandhari looked underneath the veil, underneath the blindfold that was covering her eyes, and Yudhisthira's toes were previously very, very beautiful. Prabhupada actually said that if one has beautiful feet, that means your mother was beautiful. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, you don't really know the whole story? Yeah, Prabhupada said that. One time, Prabhupada was with his servant, Shrutakirti, and he looked at Shrutakirti's feet, and he said to Shrutakirti, "You must have a beautiful mother." And Shrutakirti said, "How do you know?" And Prabhupada said, "I have heard that if one's feet are very nice, then the mother is very beautiful." So, I don't know if it's true that if your feet are ugly, the mother is ugly. I'm not sure about that one, because I'm not sure if it works in the reverse. But in any case, so she looked at Yudhisthira's feet, and Yudhisthira previously had beautiful toes and everything, and they curled up, and they started to look ugly. She had so much power. She had, because austerities give people power. And she was so powerful, she bound her eyes so that she wouldn't be better than her husband for all those years. It was like over 100 years. It wasn't just a short time. I know how much time, you know, roughly how much time, because Krishna was 125 years on the planet when the Battle of Kurukshetra took place. And Krishna was the same age as Arjuna. So you know it was, it had to be well over 100 years. Over 125 years. So her eyes were bound. And she became so powerful as a result of that. That one time she tried to make her son Duryodhana invulnerable. That's a story from the Mahabharata that everybody knows. Yes. But I'll tell it again. So at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, it was basically just Duryodhana and Kripacharya, like that, and Ashwatthama. And so Duryodhana was going to have this final fight with Bhimsen. And so Gandhari was very upset because all of her sons had died being killed by Bhimsen. And so she thought, I have to save this final son. So she was informed by Vyasadeva that you have the power to save your final son. And that power was in her eyes. So she told Duryodhana, all right, go bathe in the river right now and you come before me in your birthday clothes. You know what birthday clothes are?
Naked.
Those are the clothes that you wore when you were born. Of course, when Krishna was born, he was born with jewels. So he wasn't exactly naked. You know, he had other things. So, but everybody else is born without clothes. So Duryodhana was thinking, okay, mom, she says that. So Duryodhana comes out of the Ganges, he's walking back to see his mother, and he's completely naked, 100% naked. And then Krishna is there, and Krishna says, Duryodhana, what are you doing naked? Because that's considered against the Vedic tradition. I mean, nobody walks around naked. Even when the sages bathe, they don't bathe naked in the river. So, and Duryodhana was sort of like trying to cover his private parts, you know, with his hands like that. Anyway, so he was very embarrassed. And Duryodhana said, I'm going to see my mother. My mother has asked me to come see her. And Krishna says, shh, this is very bad. She may have seen you naked when you were a baby, but it's not right. It's very sinful. You have to at least wear a leaf around the middle portion of your body. Just do that, you know, be dharmic. And so Duryodhana was thinking, yes, good idea. So he places the leaf on the middle portion of his body, you know, covering his private parts. And then he goes to see, he says, Mom, I'm here. And Gandhari takes away the blindfold. Where's my blindfold? See, even I have a blindfold. So she takes away her blindfold. Like that. And she looks at him, and the power of her austerities emanate from her eyes and penetrate the body of Duryodhana and make his whole body invulnerable, like steel or even stronger than steel. But the middle portion was not invulnerable. The middle portion was vulnerable. And so she looks at him and says, why did you do that? And he says, Krishna told me. So she was so angry. That's another reason she was angry with Krishna. Because Krishna kept spoiling all of her fun, all of her austerities. I mean, she's, her whole life she just like saves up all of her potency and then Krishna spoils it all. Can you imagine like 125 years of austerity and then Krishna spoils all your austerity in 1 second? And so then she puts her blindfold back. She says, you know, I can only do this once. Puts the blindfold back on her eyes. And then Duryodhana has this fight with Bhimsen. And at first they're fighting in a fair fashion where you don't hit below the belt. And then Krishna slaps his thigh and shows his thigh to Bhimsen. And he says, you better. You know, basically he indicates you should hit him below the belt. And Bhimsen does that. It's below the belt. And breaks Duryodhana's thigh, which he had vowed to do anyway, because Duryodhana had wanted Draupadi to sit on his thigh. And so then what happened is that Balaram gets really, because Balaram happened to show up at the wrong moment, or right moment. He gets very angry. He says, yeah, you wanted to break Duryodhana's thigh, I'm going to break your bones. And Balaram pulls out his club to kill Bhimsen. And Krishna says, no, no, no. Don't do that. Don't you understand how Duryodhana deserved this? It was Bhimsen's vow to do this. Duryodhana had the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. He had his brother Dushasana attempt to do that. So it's the appropriate punishment. And Balaram says, he's upset. But Krishna keeps protecting his devotees. Even if Balaram's upset with you, Krishna will protect you. Mm. So the moral of the story is don't offend a chaste lady because they have power. We were talking about this with Mother's Day. Yesterday we were giving a whole Mother's Day class and talking about how we're supposed to see all ladies who are, you're not married to, because you're not married, as mother. So that means as like Lakshmi. I mean, if you take it literally to see them as mother, then I would ask them all for an allowance. You know what allowance is? Like I go to my mother and ask her for money. So if I took every lady as mother, I would actually ask every lady for money, which I don't do. So, but it means to see every lady as Mother Lakshmi. Because if the ladies are treated well, there will never be any lack of opulence. And if the ladies are mistreated, there will always be a lack of opulence. Okay, so here's the question. Atmanandini asked me the question, how to understand being neutral, equal, poised in the material world and not being callous, especially in this COVID environment where so many are suffering? Well, we're meant to be compassionate and to try to help alleviate the suffering, but we don't want to, let's say, lose our composure. We want to understand the nature of this world. In other words, we don't like it. Obviously, we don't want someone to suffer. We feel pain that they're suffering. We're upset that they're suffering. This is very, very important. However, we don't go to pieces. We understand dukkhaliyam ashashvatam. As Krishna described, abrahma bhuvanaloka punavartino arjuna mamupetra tukantiya punajanmana vijate. From the highest planet to the lowest planet, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. That's the nature of this world. For example, when I go to funerals, which I happen to go to quite often, because you know I know a lot of people, and people have this nasty habit of passing away, I oftentimes read what? The second chapter of the Gita. And the second chapter of the Gita deals with this neutrality. Matras parshas dukantaya sitoshna sukadukada agama payano nityas tamstatiksha shabharata. One should be equal poised. Pleasure, pain, happiness and distress, summer and winter seasons. And then Krishna teaches us what? The embodied soul passes from boyhood to youth and then to old age and then passes away. One should not be disturbed by such a change. Dehino smenyata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dehantaras praptir virastatra namuyati, because the soul is taking another birth. So, yes, we feel compassion, sorrow, we try to help people, but ultimately, there's this higher understanding that's going on in our hearts. And that higher understanding is, this is the nature of this world. This is the nature of the world. I mean, we're separated from people we love. I mean, just like right now, there's this COVID thing going on, and I cannot travel. So I could just sit here lamenting, feeling sorry for myself because I can't travel, crying all day long. So instead, I just saw Krishna. Yasmin vigate sarvam evam vigatam bhavati. We see Krishna everywhere, so we just take advantage. Like Prabhupada didn't lament when everything went wrong. He saw Krishna behind it, and he took advantage of the situation. So I see Krishna behind this COVID thing, and I'm taking advantage. I'm talking to all of you on the internet right now. I mean, before COVID, I was not preaching to 40 people every night, 35 to 40 people every night. And now, because of COVID, I am preaching. So, in other words, one takes advantage of different situations, but ultimately one understands the nature of this world. It's a sad place. I mean, we lost Prabhupada. I remember when Prabhupada passed away. Of course, we did lament then. And that's the proper thing, because you're feeling a separation from a great personality. But still, that's the nature of this world. Krishna took Prabhupada away. The nature of the world is... everything's taken away. Everything's ultimately taken away materially, but your devotional service is not taken away. So here's another question. Lord Shiva is the protector of Braj, so how do we understand he allowed Muslims to invade Braj and destroy temples? That Was Krishna's allowed? Krishna allowed that to happen. He had his own purposes. And actually, you see that as a result of that. I mean, let's look. There's no. I'm not going to say it was positive that the Muslims invaded, but as a result, the deities went all over, and were able to give their mercy. I mean, if you look at it from another angle of vision, you have Radha Govinda, who went to Jaipur. And they basically took over the city of Jaipur, and everybody who goes to work in the morning in Jaipur has to go see Radha Govinda before they go to work. And what to speak of Nathwara, and Srinathji is there. So in one sense, or I mean, so many of these deities went to so many places. So it's like you can say, look at it from one angle of vision. Another angle of vision is perhaps Krishna wanted to go out and preach all over India. He wasn't satisfied just to be in a temple. Krishna wanted to go on. Sad. I'm not happy the temples were destroyed. But at the same time, Krishna has some plan. I mean, why did Prabhupada's life, material life, get destroyed? Krishna has a plan. Krishna allows it to happen. It's very hard for us to understand the plan of the Lord. But things that are outside of our control are being allowed to happen by Krishna. We should try to protect devotees, try to protect temples, obviously. But Yasmin Vigyate Sarvam Evam Vigyatam Bhavati. One who knows Krishna knows everything, and then Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Shamaya Pashati Dasham Na Pranashami Sachame Na Pranashati. It's a heavy thing. We lament about it. We're not happy about it. But Krishna allows it to happen. And sometimes another point is, if people are not worshipping the deities properly, the deities will leave. Prabhupada actually said that. I was with Prabhupada one time, and devotees were talking about one temple where they were disrespecting Vaishnavas, and Prabhupada said there are no deities there, and the devotees said there are deities there, and Prabhupada said, no, you heard what I said, there are no deities there. Because they were doing something called using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with. Anyway, we have to end now. Thank you very much. I mean, these are interesting questions you all raised. I mean, some of them are very sad. It's not that we're not lamenting, but we see Krishna behind everything and take every instance as an opportunity to remember Krishna and serve Krishna and understand the nature of this world. I mean, really, this world is not a permanent place for us. Remember that. Just remember that. It's not a permanent place. You can't make a permanent settlement here. It's not. I'm sorry. That's the way Krishna's arranged it.